Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Get healthy. Be healthy. Stay healthy. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
You know, today we talk a lot about things for our gut and our gut health, but there's a continual process of learning involved because we have to understand it's not just about doing the job so-so. We have to do the job correctly, which means an exercise that's important, good rest, good sleep, good food, and at the same time, choosing the correct probiotic to reset that balance. You know, Natasha, putting our best face forward means truly starting with the best digestive system. And that outward beauty that we're talking about, it does not start with just cosmetics alone. But there is a very big role that we have to address because of the problems that are very, very present in our guts these days. You know, dysbiosis and SIBO and hypochlorhydria and some of these other conditions that are affecting the way we digest and these underlying bacterial and infection-based problems that are running through our system. And every one of these, if we don't get them in balance, we're going to end up having a situation where, you know, we're not going to be able to get healthy skin because our insides are, let's face it, not healthy.
Yes, exactly, Jeffrey. You know, I was privileged, and our guest will be talking to this, to do a wonderful clinical trial with Dr. Jaggi Rao in 2011 and his associate, Dr. Gordon Jung. It was a prospective clinical trial of patients with acne, and it was a randomized open label comparing the safety, efficacy, and tolerability of an acne treatment regimen with or without a probiotic supplement and minocycline in subjects with mild to moderate acne. And I'm glad to say that this prospective study, we did very well, and then actually the probiotic group did as well as the minocycline group, and the group that did the best was the one that consumed both the antibiotic and the probiotic. And the interesting thing was that there was three arms of the study. It was an open-label study. The first arm was the probiotic arm, the second arm was the antibiotic arm, and the third arm was the combination probiotic and antibiotic. And the patients who had problems were on the antibiotic-only group. Two patients had a dropout because of vaginal yeast infection as a result of disturbing their microbiota by using the antibiotic. And interestingly enough, I'll let Dr. Rao address this further. You know, a lot of young patients, especially young women, are put on antibiotics prophylactically for years, sometimes 5 to 7 or 8 years. And it does create a problem. And I think a solution for people who may just want to go the correct probiotic route or who may want to use the probiotic in combination with the antibiotic to resolve their acne issues would be a way for them to investigate with their dermatologist, because I believe that the use of any drug for a prolonged basis will have consequences on other health issues in our body.
Well, you know, I think we have to remember that there is so much integral going on the inside of our body. And I think that sometimes, Natasha, we don't actually think of our skin as an organ, you know, and we don't really see the connection. I mean, we see the outer part of it, you know, we take a shower, a bath every day, and, you know, we see our skin, we see problems on our skin, but, you know, we don't see exactly how that problem is getting there. But the problem could be right underneath our nose with what we're eating on our fork, our lack of water, even our stress levels and not flushing out our system, not having a good elimination, you know, not urinating in a very, very, you know, effective way. These things that we do every day, I think the hard part is for when people realize that they may be their own culprit.
Yes, you know, we've talked about this forever, Jeffrey, and interestingly enough, I just wanted to cite, while we're waiting for Dr. Rao to come and join us, in a recent article on biotechnology that talked about, you know, the microbiota. And in the article, they mentioned that people who have SIBO or SIBO, either way you pronounce it, it stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And it is a growing problem in the North American continent, and both in America and Canada. And what the connection was made recently, that a form of this inflammatory bowel disease, which is called SIBO or SIBO, The skin and the health of the skin was affected. And how was this affected? That about 50% of the people who had this SIBO were shown to develop a skin eczema or a rosacea, which is a much more serious problem than people who did not have this condition. So here is another direct connection between rosacea and SIBO in patients who were diagnosed with this problem.
So when someone is seeing that they have a skin problem, they're visiting their dermatologist or they're going to the doctor and they have these rashes and blemishes and hives and pimples and irritated skin, people don't realize that some of these irritations can actually crack and bleed and be not only unsightly but uncomfortable and hurtful. You know, is it common knowledge that we need to stabilize the inside of our gut, or is just nobody getting it?
I think it's not common knowledge. I think that doctors, you know, are starting to recommend, but there's no criteria for the selection of the probiotics. They understand that inflammatory conditions are caused by misdirection of the immune system. See, the inflammatory condition is a way for the body to protect itself from pathogens that are trying to invade your body through the blood system and get into your organs. And so it's a protective reaction, but sometimes it goes awry because the organisms that are being hunted by your immune system have stealthy defensive maneuvers, and they use misdirection and confusion to divert the immune system's attention to themselves. And this is many times manifested in internal problems, whether it be skin problems, cognitive problems, digestive problems, inflammatory conditions in the joints or in other parts of the body. This is the whole game. And I think the sooner we start putting the effect of the microbiome and microbiota together, the more we will be coming to the, conclusion, which you and I talk about every week, is the fact that changing your diet, taking the right probiotic supplementation, and engaging in exercise can revolutionize the health of the nation and really help people to get better.
Now, when we're talking about the skin and resetting our ecosystem and our balance and our digestive system, we're not just talking about when we have all these breakouts and relapses of unhealthy skin for adults. We're talking about kids, too. And we're talking about, you know, adolescent acne and young kids with psoriasis and eczema, as well as talking about the adults. And, you know, we today, Natasha, it's not uncommon to hear somebody that said, my skin has always been perfect, and now I'm having skin conditions. And when you dig in a little deeper, you find out that the diet is bad. You know, they're on antibiotics. They're on a wide spectrum amount of different kinds of pharmaceuticals. They're very stressed. They don't exercise. They don't drink any water. So we're talking about young kids, adolescents, and adults equally. True?
Oh, yes. I think you see it's a growing problem in every field. The fact that we're consuming millions of, or I should say billions of dollars worth of proton pump inhibitors to stop the production of acid. And people don't realize that when you do that, it allows bacteria to go into the small intestine. And the acid barrier of the stomach is not only, only there to digest proteins, but it's there to protect us from the microbes we're ingesting from our environment in our food. People are under the illusion that organic foods are not filled with bacteria. As a matter of fact, because they're organic, they're filled with many more bacteria that are in the environment. And when you say to yourself, well, what has that got to do with my skin? Well, I just mentioned to you that there is now a connection between the overgrowth of bacteria in the small intestine and the appearance of rosacea in about 50% of the people. And I'm sure that if you studied eczema and, you know, contact dermatitis and other issues, you will find that there is a connecting issue between the digestive tract and that, a skin problem. And also what we didn't address today, that there are trillions of bacteria on top of your skin. Why do you think you have to use an antiseptic in order to clean your skin once you cut your skin and open it up? It's because usually staph is lurking around waiting to get into that bloodstream. They just are literally dying to get into your body and get a free ride into your organs. So we have to learn how to we can improve the ecosystem on our skin, the bacteria ecosystem on our skin, and the bacterial ecosystem inside of our digestive tract. And unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you may view it, people are willing to do more to take in more things to improve the beauty of their skin than even to take care of their digestive health.
So when we're looking at this, big picture, and people are learning about their skin, maybe for the first time ever, you know, and you tell them that their skin is their largest organ and it's about 21 square feet, sometimes up to 6 to 10% of their total body weight. And then they start getting surprised that it's actually connected to the inside of the body and not just a covering. You know, I think sometimes a little light goes off. Maybe it doesn't, but hopefully it does.
You know, it does, because I think we're immersed in also in the dietary supplement industry to try to give, you know, one what I call pill solutions to problems. You know, we say, well, take this pill and it will do X, Y, Z, or it'll improve your skin, it'll improve your mental clarity, without understanding that we should be talking about a comprehensive program of not only improving our digestion, but improving our immunity through those supplements that we take. And we really have to consider the supplements that we take, that they really contain what they claim on the label and not just something that we think we're getting because we paid a good price for it. I think it's a part of maturity. I think understanding that the body is interconnected, that the skin, no matter how many procedures you do on your skin, is not going to look as beautiful as the person who really is glowing from the inside out. And that only happens when you're eating correctly, when you're consuming enough oils to help, you know, feed your skin so it doesn't look drawn and wrinkled, and that you are, you know, maintaining the proper balance of your bacterial colonies in your gut.
Well, let me ask you this question then. If keeping this balance, when most of the country are now using and overusing antacids and overusing acid-restricted proton pump inhibitors, and they're actually affecting their body negatively by using them to get a result, which is to take care of symptoms that are annoying, doesn't this lack of absorbability throw that ecosystem into turmoil?
Oh, absolutely. Because you can't digest your protein, so you have undigested food particles being dumped into your small intestine, which, you know, aggravates the bacteria colonies that are in your small intestine. And, you know, if you can just visualize this food sort of rotting on the way down through your small intestine and your large intestine, not nourishing your body, and the body's trying to absorb these nutrients. And if they're in the wrong molecular size, they, you know, aggravate and inflame the immune system to overreact. And so now you have a whole host of problems, and that inflammatory condition can also be expressed in the skin. So this is the connection we have to have, that aha moment, that whatever we're doing to disrupt our digestion will have an effect in all organs, including the skin and our body.
Dr. Rao, in your practice, what are you seeing as far as the level of problems with the skin today that we haven't seen in the past? I mean, are we escalating? Are we to an epidemic problem yet?
I wouldn't say it's quite epidemic, but I would say that there is a problem. We're starting to see lots of resistance to the use of our medication where we never quite did before. For example, back in the 60s, 70s, and even up until the current decade, we have been using antibiotics just as if they're water. And as Natasha had said, that has had some grave problems, not only from the side effects of the medications themselves, but also the lack of efficacy over time and maybe even the buildup of superorganisms.
You know, Natasha, I know you were talking about the study earlier, and I think that the study is really important because it does give a visual sign of what is happening out there and how our body reacts.
Yes, I wanted Dr. Rao to take a moment to sort of summarize our study. I mentioned it briefly while we were waiting for him to join us, but I think he was sort of surprised by the study as well, and I know he's very interested in doing more work so we can show effective alternatives to dealing with acne, especially in young women.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk about that if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Yes, please go ahead.
So this was 2 years ago. We did a prospective randomized open label trial we compared three different agents together. We had Natasha's nice mix, her probiotic supplement mixture. We also had minocycline. And we tried to compare, actually we had group A was we had three different groups. Group A was people who just received probiotic supplementation. Group B is where patients only received minocycline. And group C is where we gave patients both minocycline and probiotic. And these were patients who had acne between the ages of 18 and 35 years old. And we chose 45 patients. We really only needed about 30 patients to show efficacy, but we chose more. So we had 45 patients. They were all female, and we measured not only the efficacy, but also the safety and tolerability. And we did this for a total of 3 full months. Hmm. And then at the end of it, we took some images. We had 4 independent dermatologist reviewers take a look at it to see how effective each of the different arms were. And it was quite surprising. I mentioned that the first group had received only probiotics, the second group only minocycline, and the third group received both probiotics and minocycline. As you can imagine, the third group, group C, did the best of all, where the clearance was a lot quicker as well as much more complete. But what surprised me is that even group A that received probiotic supplementation alone without any antibiotics actually did really well. In fact, just as well, and in some cases even better, than the group B that received only minocycline antibiotics.
You know, Natasha, we stress this healthy trinity idea, the idea of diet and exercise and having a properly formulated probiotic. You know, but I think we could even add on to that. There are so many little sub-chapters of that are important to give us this outward picture of healthy skin. And there's nothing better than hearing great trials and great information that, you know, that a quality made probiotic with the strike correct strain can be so powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And I think even Dr. Rao was surprised by the findings. I don't know if he was just open-minded or being kind, but I think we were all surprised at the findings. And I think we need to do more investigation to see if we can eliminate the overuse of antibiotics. And I'd like him to address the kind of problems he sees with young people, you know, aside from the acne, the eczema and psoriasis and other issues that young people have. Is it increasing or decreasing? And are you seeing a resistance in people of all ages to take pharma drugs for their conditions on a long-term basis?
Yeah, the short answer is yes, Natasha. I mean, we used to give minocycline out like it was candy not too long ago, and some people still do. And now we're seeing it just doesn't work as well, and yet the doses are increasing. So we used to give 100 milligrams a day. Now it's not uncommon to give 200 milligrams a day to achieve the same type of effect. The effect isn't as long-lasting as it used to be, and of course, the higher doses that you give, the more side effects you have, such as yeast infections and intolerability, pigmentation, indigestion, and so forth. So we are certainly seeing more resistance, more intolerability over time.
What other kind of conditions do you see in your clinic? What do people generally come to see you about?
Well, I guess we see the whole gamut of anything that deals with the skin, hair, or nails, but specifically for antibiotics, folliculitis, acne, rosacea, some of the other infections that involve the sebaceous glands and hair follicles, cysts, hidradenitis suppurativa, the very common one that we'll see. These are the different indications for antibiotics currently.
This is Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and I want everybody to realize that this is solid information, the information that we need. If you are pursuing healthy skin, you have to find a quality dermatologist. You need to change your diet, and you need to get quality probiotics in your body to build your system. This is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this segment and all of my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. Thanks for listening, and stay well.